Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about revival. We're going to be talking about maybe a great awakening. And it's important for us, with everything that we see happening in the world as Christians, that we don't begin to lose heart, that we don't begin to despair. Listen, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we need to remind ourselves that the answer to ISIS, the answer to the economy, the answer to the problems that we face in our nation are not found in a man, they're not found in an elected representative, but the answer is always in Jesus. The answer is always in the advancement of the gospel and of his kingdom. And for years, you know, our country in times past has seen dark moments before, but it's when the God's spirit moving across the land and revival that spread across the country, even a first and second great awakening that we experienced in America, changed the landscape, changed the DNA of the church, it changed our communities, it changed our nation, and it changed the world. And we're at that place again. We're at that place again where we need to begin to cry out to God, that we need to repent. Oftentimes, people are looking for times of refreshing. They're looking for times of encouragement. They want to feel the Spirit of God. Well, God's word is very clear that repentance precedes refreshing. And we are due for a revival. On this program, we often end our program by praying, "Dear God, end abortion and send revival." Well, we're going to be praying more and more for a revival. We want to encourage you to do the same. The answer is God. It's Jesus Christ. I want you to watch this as we look at how revivals in the past have shaped the church, our country, and the world. Watch this.
From the Mayflower Compact to the Declaration of Independence, Christianity was at the heart of America's founding. That key point is often overlooked these days, but the evidence is everywhere. Paul Strand reports on a massive revival in the 1700s that left a radical mark on the birth of our nation.
America's revolutionary fathers weren't just nominal Christians. They were profoundly influenced by the New World's first revival, the Great Awakening. Reverend Eddie Hyatt tells how it hit from the 1720s to 60s in his book, America's Revival Heritage. Colonial pastor Jonathan Edwards, known to pray and study his Bible 13 hours a day, watched radical revival take over his hometown in Massachusetts.
The way he describes it is just like one day God invaded the town of Northampton. The town seemed to be full of the presence of God.
The bars emptied out and Christians' homes filled with people anxious to be saved and know God.
He said, if you came across someone who seemed spiritually indifferent, it would be spoken of as a strange thing.
Then the powerful English preacher George Whitefield brought his fiery sermons to America. Scorned by the established church, he preached salvation to huge multitudes outdoors. Crowds from 10,000 to as many as 30,000 showed up.
Entire towns repenting and turning to God.
Whitefield stayed at Benjamin Franklin's home while preaching in Philadelphia, and Franklin wrote of the revival's impact.
From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street.
Whitefield lifted up a special prayer for the colonies that would make a huge difference in their revolution and future together.
They would not live as 13 scattered colonies, but as one nation under God.
And indeed, the Great Awakening became the first national event the scattered colonies experienced as one. It unified them unlike any time before, just in time to face the mighty British Empire in war. The revival also shaped the Founding Fathers' core vision for America, that God sets men free. It's their natural right to have liberty, and each is made to rule with Christ. Its influence is all over their Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights. As he studied the founders, Hyatt found example after example of how deeply this awakening influenced them and their Christian values. Take Thomas Jefferson, for instance.
He signed all presidential documents in the year of our Lord Christ.
He sent Christian missionaries to one Indian tribe and gave them federal funds to build a church. He also attended Sunday services held in the House of Representatives. Some scholars even doubt the first president's faith. But a Quaker named Isaac Potts, living near Valley Forge, saw George Washington's faith up close during that cruel winter that almost froze his colonial army to death during the Revolution.
He said, "I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods, and to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone. He was at prayer to the God of the armies of heaven, beseeching him."
The anti-war Quaker Potts later wrote,
and he says, "Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian. But if there is one in the world, it is Washington."
At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly the convention almost broke up. But then Ben Franklin stood and began to preach.
He says, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?"
Then Franklin beseeched them to pray together at the start of every day. After that, an atmosphere of peace and reconciliation came upon the founders.
And they were able to proceed and to finish their job of hammering out the American Constitution and Bill of Rights, and in a context of prayer.
60 years after it began, the Great Awakening still influenced the Founding Fathers and continues to benefit our country today. Paul Strand, CBN News.
We want to encourage you today. We want you to, your faith to just rise straight up and to know that, listen, our answer is Jesus Christ and his return. But upon his return, we want souls. We want souls for the kingdom and the glory of God. And we need a revival like we've never had before. And so join us when we get back from this break as we continue to talk about revival and remembering the wonders of the Lord.
You know, we're talking about revival. Mm. We're talking about, you know, a third great awakening. You know, Steve, I know this is something that we often talk about.
Very encouraging.
Very encouraging. Because so many people today, believers, you know, they're getting caught up in current events without a biblical perspective. They're listening to doom and gloom if they're not, you know, watching VFN TV. We try to give a biblical perspective. We always say that it's not important just to know the news, but you have to know what to do with the news that you know. And you need to have a biblical perspective. Okay, this is what's happening around the world. This is what's happening maybe even in our nation. But what is God saying about this? What is some biblical truth that we can take away so that we can actually begin to implement it, live our lives, arrange our lives around the truth and not another narrative that's designed to be a shiny object and pull us away from the things that matter most? And today, you know, we're living in a society with so much information, television, internet, smartphone, you know, tablets, you name it. And everything is competing, and people are getting a constant stream of negativity. Now you're getting notifications of every single thing that happens in the nation. You know, a cat falls out the tree, and you get a notification. Somewhere in Texas, a cat falls out the tree. And it's time for us to refocus and realize, listen, this is not about, you know, a person, you know, who wins office. This is not about a political party. We have to remember, as believers, our hope is in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Yeah. And you got to ask yourself, you know, amidst all these things, what's God's timeline? When you look back in history books, a lot of times they're just going to focus on just the Revolution and the Civil War and the 13 colonies. And it's just like, what's God's timeline?
Right.
What is the sequence of events that the church went through of what happened in the spreading of the gospel, and I love hearing that about Northampton was almost impregnated with the physical manifestations of God's presence in an entire city. And then it was moments later, then the American Revolution happened. And it's like, you can't get caught up in just one perspective of history. It's like, what's God's timeline of events?
Yeah. You know, because you can be looking at what's happening today and you can say, oh my goodness, these are dark times. Well, they're dark times for you because you're living in this generation and in this season. Mm-hmm. But understand that when you look in the context of time, as you were talking about, Steve, in the context of our nation, that our country has faced dark times before. And we have faced dark moments. I mean, we experienced a civil war in our nation. Over 600,000 Americans died. And at that time, they were wondering, can we even keep the country together? Is this experiment over?
Yeah.
And that's just dimension one of many dark moments. But listen, our answer has always been for the church to be the church, to get any sin out of our life, because a lot of times we want refreshing, but, you know, Acts 3 tells us, 3:19, that we've got to repent first so that times of refreshing may come, and that we need to get right with God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek God, right? Repent, turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear us and heal our land. And that's what we need. You know, the problems that we're facing in the world are not necessarily the world. We need to stop pointing to the world and start looking inward and say, Lord, where have I sinned?
Yeah.
Am I desperate for you? Am I, you know, are you the first thought in my mind when I wake up and the last thought when I go to sleep? And it causes me to remember what we experienced during the Brownsville revival, a revival that occurred on the Gulf Coast and was pretty powerful, touched not only the region and the country, but it reached to the nations of the world. Mm-hmm. People were flying in from all over the world, and reminds me of a time that we discussed this on our program where Greg is sharing about remembering the wonders of the Lord, because sometimes we just need to encourage ourselves and look back and say, you know, this happened before. God did move. God touched. And there was a moment, a season, where nothing else mattered. You weren't satisfied with ordinary, quote-unquote, Christianity, but you were in a place of desperation and a place where you were always and consistently caught up in the things of God and what God was doing and who gave their life to the Lord and what miracle happened. And this was a daily occurrences where fellowship would be around what God was doing, not what was on the television program or what came out or anything, but what is happening, whose life was radically changed. I want you to listen as Greg shares about remembering the wonders of the Lord. Watch this.
Well, you know, here we are. We're going to talk about some testimonies. What happened, there was a particular church. It was located in Pensacola, Florida at 3100 West DeSoto Street. It is called Brownsville Assembly. And it was being pastored by Brother John Kilpatrick at the time. And I was working with him there in under him in ministry as well. And he had asked us to begin to pray on Sunday nights, because at that time you met on Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And and then he had somebody create some banners. And it's a friend of mine that began to make some banners or particular issues to pray over. And people would just gather behind those banners. And that's all happened on that particular on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. So much so and so long that, you know, this is the way, you know, my experience was, that just be faithful. You know, we have what's called the prayer and fasting community where we are and we pray. We've been praying for years now. And just stay faithful and realize that we prayed and prayed during that time, and prayed where you couldn't pray anymore. Then you continue to pray. Then you prayed even though you didn't feel like praying. And then you watched others pray. And then we prayed. And then you asked the question, why are we praying? And then, you know, half people quit showing up and said that you're off track. Why do you keep on having this prayer? You know, and then people came back, and then he got disheartened, and things started happening other places, but didn't happen there. I mean, this is the beginning of a major outpouring. And not only did it not make sense at some point after so long to much of the body, it wasn't making much sense to him, you know, and that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah, right.
And it was Father's Day 1995, and I was part of a small men's group, myself and a few other men. And we were going to go and pray for Brother Kilpatrick that morning in a little small little area that he gathered in before he would go and speak. And we went in there. He had his arms crossed, and he was looking out the window, just all kinds of emotions. And he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And there was a man there by the name of Steve Hill. Mm-hmm. He was an evangelist, and we didn't know that until we walked in the door, because Steve was going to fill in for him because he wasn't even going to be there. Well, Kilpatrick wasn't going to be there, but he knew that a particular man, his name was David, he just was a great father, and his,
his daughter, and he was going to present a Father of the Year award to him. And that's the only reason he showed up. Mm. And so we looked at Steve, and Steve was like this, and he's, you know, we're kind of just typical, traditional, you know, docile type believers, I guess you would say. We thought we were pretty radical, but we weren't. And we saw Steve, and Steve is like on fire. He just got back from England, I guess, and he's just on fire. And he's talking about God and the power of God. And we're, you know, we're like, oh my goodness. You know, this is, it was a big contrast because you had the sadness of the man who laid the work and prayed and prayed and believed God and believed God. Now he's put all of his, everything he's had has been poured out. And then you have all of a sudden God's response is, I now poured everything up to what I answered your prayer, and I'm bringing Steve Hill in. But when those two come together, they don't fit at first because one is just burnt out. And the other one's like so excited, you almost want to go. Until you get touched by God, you're kind of like, just really, stop. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. And so he's talking to this man. He's just, you know, God, and God did this and God did that, and God's going to move today and God's going to move today. And we just kind of looked at him. And then Brother Kilpatrick says, just, you know, pray for him, not me. Pray for him, not me. And then we laid hands on him, and we got touched.
Yeah, right.
It was a powerful, powerful thing. And then we walked on out to a traditional type setting where we were going to hear the evangelist speak. And my brother Kilpatrick kind of sat to the side and was ready just to get it over with and be able to get back home again. I mean, been there, done that, you know, where you're just so burnt out and so tired. And he labored for years. You know, and for this to what's about to happen. Of course, Steve is preaching about remember the wonders of the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to remember the wonders of the Lord and share with you some things and personal experiences that we had. And so he was preaching and he was talking about, and we're just hearing, we understand this is Steve's experience, not our experience. So he's sharing about his experience. It's not yet our experience, and it definitely wasn't Brother Kilpatrick's experience. And finally, when it was all said and done, you know, Steve says, well, I'm going to pray for you. And he talked throughout the whole message about, you know, the Lord is a strong tower and all this, you know, and that I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to pray for you. And, of course, at this point, Brother Kilpatrick in his own mind and heart is going like, if he says that one more time, you know. And then all of a sudden he calls people forward. And then
on Father's Day
when he didn't already, he didn't want to be there as it was. And it was just like, great, we'll never be out of here. And all of a sudden, when he starts laying hands on the body that's there, God just begins to move powerfully. And I remember that Brother Kilpatrick got behind him. It's sort of like, okay, I'll just go stand behind him, lay my hand on him, let him do the work. I have no energy to do this thing right here. And as soon as he laid his hand on Steve Hill's back and began to walk, it's like a river just began to pour into the gathering, and his legs turn to rubber, and he can't hardly move them. He kind of gets people to help him get back up on the by the podium. He stands on the right side of the podium as we're all just singing the song, "The Lord is a strong tower; those that run into Him will be saved." And after that message of remembering the wonders of the Lord, and all of a sudden he says, "He's here! He's here! Get in!" Blam. Hit the floor, and God just broke out. It was so powerful, and it's God called us by surprise. I mean, God called us by surprise. Steve carried this torch, this fire from England, and brought it to Pensacola, and just God exploded, and by shock, our minds couldn't. I mean, God was moving despite our minds, and because He don't need our minds, by the way. And I remember that. I was ready. I was going to get prayer, and Steve Hill was praying. He was barely touching somebody's head, and he prayed for them, and they would fall. You know, and I've seen that before, and it's like, no courtesy falls here.
Right.
And when he came up, and I was standing, you know, right around the podium here, guys, in front of that. He came up and barely touched my forehead and said, "More, Lord." And it was like my entire body literally was just the power of God, just a force just pressed on every part of my body. And I went straight backwards off my feet and went back. And next thing, you know, I'm in the presence of God. It was the most powerful thing. And I, you know, your eyes are closed at this point, you're just basking in God's presence. And it's just so powerful. This is totally new to me. This is all new to me. We're like totally overtaken. Our brains haven't caught up yet. We're just like, so wonderful. God's presence. And He's got so much for us, and He's so wonderful. And all I remember is opening my eyes later on and looking at a place that I've never seen before, the bottom of a pew. I'd never even seen the carpet before. Anyway,
yeah, right.
It was just powerful things. We got so many things we're about to share with you. What broke out on Father's Day of 1995. I remember that we're talking about what happened on Father's Day of 1995 when God poured out his presence after Brother Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick, had labored for years and believed God for what was going to happen to the point that he basically didn't care if it happened or not.
Right.
It's kind of how it works, right? It ain't going to happen. And then that's when it happens. Right. And, or I don't care. And that, and God just blessed him, you know, and rewarded him and caught everybody by surprise. And so here we are. If you have been following me, as I said about in the first part of the extra hour is, here's God's moving. Like I said, the power of God, people are being prayed for. And the only thing that's being said, because coming from, you know, charismatic type, Pentecostal type churches, I mean, they are known for having a lot of words when they pray. I mean, a lot of words. I remember, and there was many years when I would want to pray, but I would shut down because there was 10,000 words being prayed by somebody else. I'm like, amen. You know? Mm-hmm. And it was amazing being in a charismatic Pentecostal environment that the only thing that was being prayed for is more Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, more of God, more of Jesus solves everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More of your presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it evolved into, you know, a refreshing Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more of your anointing, Jesus. But we stayed just with Jesus. We just started lifting Jesus up. And that's where Steve, mm-hmm. God led us through Steve after Brother Kilpatrick labored for years. And that's when, you know, apostles laying the foundation. He's pushing and pressing, and all of a sudden God brings an evangelist in, and all of a sudden those two work together to do exactly what is supposed to take place biblically from what we learn. Mm-hmm. And so God's moving. The people that we know that we sat beside for years that said hardly anything now are, you know, falling under the power of God. They're falling in love with Jesus. And immediately what happened, this is like the beginning of it, when we realize once you were touched by God, it's like you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't know how long you had. I mean, this could be a moment. This could be a second. We don't know how long this is going to be. And it's Father's Day 95. It's the first day. And so we didn't know it was going to be another day. Mm-hmm. And so immediately we had all of our children were in a cafeteria at that point going through, you know, children's gatherings and mm-hmm. doing different things. And so many parents at once they realized this is God,
mm-hmm.
without even talking to anybody, without saying a word, immediately started walking from the gathering where we were, like in the large sanctuary area, walking mm-hmm. down this long school hall side by side. All these parents are just like marching. They aren't talking to nobody. We're not talking to anybody. We're going to grab our children because
mm-hmm.
we want to get our children in the presence of God. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's like you just knew instinctively, this is get them in. And nobody's saying it. God is just basically, you know, saying that. And so then we go get our children. We bring them up. And I remember Amber was real little back then, and Jared. And I brought them up, and that was a smaller kids, and they were on a stage area, and Steve grabbed, made a little circle of these little children, and Amber was there, and Jared, I believe he was in that circle too, but I remember Amber where he began to pray for them, and the power of God fell on those children, and mm-hmm. it was amazing what happened, because it was like a diving experience kind of explains this when you're diving underwater. But it was like all the air, when I saw that, as soon as I saw Amber fall on the power of God and all these children fall, that all the air in my lungs totally went out. I like had no air.
Oh, wow.
It sucked out like that. And it's like, oh, my goodness. And then a whole new breath of air got breathed inside of me. It was like God took the spirit off of me, out of me, around me. A lot of us would say, including Brenda Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick's, Brother Kilpatrick's wife, mm-hmm. she said, that's the day that we all got saved.
Wow, isn't that awesome?
Wow.
It was a great opportunity. You're hearing Greg talk about the early days of revival. At the same time, you're watching images. Thanks to Kathy Wood, who was an awesome photographer, did an amazing job
mm-hmm.
of capturing a move of God like that and still taking wonderful pictures. But at the same time, you're seeing what developed over a period of time, years, day in, day out, day in, night out. And it became a blur between, you know, you went there in the night and sometimes you left in a wee early, mm-hmm. you know, morning hours. And it was amazing. is amazing just to hear and recount and remember all that the Lord has done. And I'm telling you that God wants to do it again. I mean, we are praying and believing, and we want to stir up your spirit, stir up your faith to believe along with us that on the Gulf Coast that there will be an outpouring that will bring a huge ingathering of souls. And this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to see a heaven full, hell empty. We're just talking about revival. Oh, my goodness, and how amazing. Remembering the wonders of the
Fires
Lord.
Of the Lord, oh, yes.
Amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just to think about just people who are just hungry for his presence. And just to say, like we were talking during the break, of just like it enveloping every day. All you're thinking about is what is God is saying, the miracles, people who are giving their life to the Lord. Your entire day is just like just hungry for God's presence.
Mm. It's amazing because during that time period, you had so many people that were touched. I came to the Lord during the Brownsville revival, and my story is just like so many others. You know, mm-hmm. I was away from God, and I didn't know the Lord. I thought I knew God, but I was totally away from God in sin. And God called my name. I mean, I responded to the altar call. Steve was giving an altar call. Like, I was pulled by my spirit, if you will. I couldn't even resist it. And Steve came over and laid. Gave my life to the Lord, and I went to shake Steve's hand, the evangelist at the time at the Brownsville Revival, and just to say, thank you. I great message.
You're doing a good job.
Whatever. and Steve didn't even acknowledge. I mean, all Steve said was, "More Lord." That's wow. All he said as he shook my hand, and literally I flew back, hit the ground, was kind of shocked by that because I'd never experienced the power of God like that before in my life. And as I went down on the floor, and this happened to me, but this happened simultaneously to other people. I mean, it wasn't just a one occurrence. There's so many people responding there at the altar and just, not worried about anybody else. Everyone was there getting right with God. And that's the thing. When God's presence invades an area, a town, a gathering, nothing matters. People have a God consciousness, and there's a conviction that the only thing you want to do is you want to be right with God.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this just the other day, that Steve didn't preach these eloquent messages. They were great, but they were so simple that a child could understand. Yet every single night, it was the same result. It was the same message, essentially. Get right with God.
Repentance.
And every night, by the droves, by the thousands, people would get right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I was, laying on the floor, and I remember shaking. I was literally trembling, flopping, if you will, like a fish out of water.
Which is totally out of your mind.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even contain myself. I had no control over my physical body. I wasn't hurting, but I was like vibrating on the floor, and the most overwhelming feeling, beautiful feeling I've ever felt in my life. And it was a presence of God. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me for the very first time, because actually up until that point, I was actually questioning whether God was even real and all these different things. And I felt the Lord just speak to me. I heard clear as day. Am I real, son? You just don't even know. I mean, am I real? And that day began a journey that I've never left, from. I got right with God and changed everything in my life. Well, this story is multiplied by so many people, Steve, who encounter God, and their lives have been radically different, radically changed. And it was his presence, it was the glory of God, and it was the gospel message preached in its purest form, in simple manner, get right and repent.
Yeah. And it's beautiful to hear your story when you're saying, like, when you saw Steve Hill and he would just say, "More Lord."
Yeah.
It totally changed the paradigm, thinking that we have to add all the words and just saying, "No, God, I just want your presence. God, I just want your presence. God, I just repent, get right at the cross. I want more of your presence."
Yeah.
And just saying that and being hungry, because God sees your heart. Yeah. And it's just like God will not turn away from a heart that's fully devoted, because he says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find him.
Yes.
And it's just like God's going to honor that hungry heart prayer.
He does every time. The question is, are you hungry? Are you desperate? Do you want more of God, or are you satisfied? You can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want? And I think it was Jonathan Edwards who said, you never have to advertise a fire. You know, people just come. And and people would come, Steve. I mean, it first started, you know, locally and maybe from a few states. And then after so many people started coming, because it wasn't something that was advertised, hey, we're having a revival, or it just was in the beginning was, hey, we'll just try one more day. You know, would you come back type of thing? And then we'll have it for one more week, you know, as long as you keep coming, God keeps moving, we'll do it. And then it took a while before, you know, the leadership said, this is revival. We're in revival. This is God's moving, you know. And then people started coming from different states, like I said. Then it started coming from different nations. And I remember at that time I was throughout years, because this revival lasted for several years. We're talking about the Brownsville revival, remembering the wonders of the Lord and how we need to. We're at that point yet again, you know, in the church, in the nation, where we need God. That we don't need to look at the things that are happening in the world and the dark things that are happening and be in despair. We need to say that the stage is set for Jesus. The stage is set for not the counterfeit, but the authentic, genuine move of God to come, so that so many people can get right with the Lord. What we're seeing in the world right now, and even in our nation, is that, listen, things don't satisfy. You know, the cares of this world, you know, money, career, everything that people typically run to, leaves you broke down. It has consequences. That's the thing about sin. It has consequences. It makes you go farther than you ever wanted to go. It makes you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. And sin will make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. And so it started, it seemed good to you in the beginning, but in the end, you're hooked and you're locked down. And so the answer is freedom. The answer is being set free. And so in this move, Steve, you would see people come. You know, I remember at that particular time I started ushering, and I remember seeing delegations from different countries, South Korea, 50 people at a time, you know. And then there were need for translators, because people were coming from South America and Argentina, and they were coming from different parts of Europe, and they were hungry, the desperation. And it was just amazing to see when people can wait hours outside just to get inside of a service that would start later on that evening. It just really makes you say, wow, God, what are you doing?
Yeah. When you're saying hungry, when you're saying, are you desperate? And I'm reminded of the story. I don't remember specifically if this was Jonathan Edwards or one of the revival preachers at the time, when he would baptize people, when people were just hungry, I want to be water baptized. And you hold them underwater, and they would start to just like hold them underwater 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and then come to the surface and just that gasp for air. And he would say, until you're that, as you are desperate for air, be that desperate for the presence of God.
This was Jonathan Edwards.
That's what I'm saying. I'll make this, I'll search this, because this has been documented, as that he's that hungry. And just like, are you that hungry, and are you that searching for the presence of God in your life?
Well, I'll tell you that sometimes things have to get dark for some people in order for them to be desperate enough. You know, you got to be tired of your situation. You know, you have to realize, you know, there has to be more. And a lot of times people live satisfied. They live like they're happy with the quote unquote Christianity that they have. They're happy and satisfied with the things that are going. But oftentimes, unfortunately, people have to lose things. I hate that this is a reality, but oftentimes people have to lose things to recognize either A, how good that they already had it, or B, that there's so much more than what they were holding on to. They were holding on to this job. They were holding on to this relationship. They were holding on to this item, this luxury. And they thought that in having that would complete them, and having that would be life to them. And when it was removed, they realized, my world is coming to an end. There has to be more. And when you get desperate enough for God and you start crying out to him, it's something amazing happens, Steve. He answers your prayers. He answers you. And he begins to start wooing you, if you will, back to him. And I'm telling you that this is the answer. We're talking about what's the answer to the problems that the world is facing. I mean, so many, as we've talked extensively in the past, are seeing so many things, so much of a prophetic fulfillment that's happening in the Middle East today. You're looking at ISIS, you're looking at global economies, you're looking at things that are happening even in our own nation just in the last 5 years alone. And this is not a time for the church to shrink back. It's a time for the church to press in into the things of the Lord. I remember that Steve Hill often used to say in revival, are the things you're living for, are they worth Christ dying for? And it's important. The book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man, a wise woman, gives thought to their ways. And it's important for us to begin to start evaluating, you know, where are we in life? What is happening? And you know, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All we have is today. So the question is, what are you doing today? What are you doing with your life?
Absolutely. Yeah, and when you think about that very reality of what Steve Hill was saying in that quote, it's just like, are you living your life in context of the values of eternity?
Yeah.
Are you living your life when you look at the fact that we are going to stand before Jesus and answer for this life? And when you live your life in that reality, in that context of eternity and seeing Jesus in heaven, it's just like, I want to live my life in that reality, knowing the fact that I want to give you as much glory in everything that I do for that moment.
Yeah. Listen, God wants to do so much more in this hour. I don't think we're waiting on him. I think he's waiting on us. And I'm encouraged because many people are awakening. Many people are appealing to heaven and their movements that are starting in 24-hour, seven-day-a-week prayer movements that are beginning all over the country and all over the world. And there is an appeal to heaven that's going out that's saying, God, we need you back again. Mm-hmm. We repent. Listen, we want to pray with you, and we encourage you, please pray for us. We need your prayers. We love you to pray for us. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you're doing on the face of this earth. Father, we cry out today, God, for a revival. We cry out today for a third great awakening, Lord. Bring us, Lord, to a place of repentance, a place that we turn away from sin, from a lifestyle of sin, and to we turn our hearts back to you, where you're the number one person in our life, and we live our lives according to your glory, God. We invite you today, Lord. We invite you to move. Dear God, end abortion, send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.